I can't emphasize this enough, and I can't get it through some people's heads. Only the Spirit of God can. It doesn't matter whether you are in an independent fundamental Baptist church, or a Pentecostal church, or an Awana club, or Master's club, or where you were. You can have been at an evangelist Billy Graham meeting, or you could have been at a youth rally, or whatever it was. If you did not face your sin and the cross as payment for your sin, and the power of His resurrection as the victory over your sin, you were not saved. Amen. And I think our churches are filled with a lot of unsaved people. Yep. Eternally secure and unsaved in Baptist churches. It's not based on your works. I'm not one of these guys that get up here and say, well, if you're not doing this and you're not doing that, you must not be saved. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you must be saved by faith in the gospel. And a lot of people weren't. And I've heard the story, I've heard the soul winners who, love to brag about how many people they've led to the Lord. And then I ask them, well, how do you do that? And I had one guy in particular years ago, he just asked people, do you want to go to heaven? They said, yes. Will you say this prayer with me? Well, yes. And he'd bow his head and he would say this little prayer and they would say it. And that was it. There was no gospel. So no one was saved. And that man's going to stand before God and answer for deceiving all these people so that he could brag about how many souls he saved. It's going to be ugly for some people. Jesus and his followers, including Paul, preached repentance. When you tell people about Jesus and they're not saved, you need to... There's an old saying, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved. That's the old way of saying they have to understand they're lost. Most people today are told from the time they're old enough to hear and understand English, you're wonderful. God made you just the way you are. Don't let anybody tell you you need to change. You're just wonderful just like that. No, that's a lie from hell. You are a wicked sinner with a sinful nature, and if you did everything you wanted to do, you would sin constantly. You need to be told that you're on your way to hell without Jesus Christ, and that only with Jesus Christ can you be forgiven and go to heaven. That's why I call, people get upset about the public schools for teaching this and teaching that, and that's all, there's a case to be made. But the reason why I believe that the public schools are pits of hell right now is because they don't tell that basic truth to the kids. Separation of church and state, they call it. That's not separation of church and state. The church is the church. Churches, buildings, organizations, everything. That's the gospel. And if you can't have a public education system that starts with the gospel, then burn it down. Our children should be taught in schools and in homes where the gospel is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And I got this is what's on the wall back there, Acts 20:21. Look back there. You notice that back there? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what Paul preached. Amen. And you ever notice the Bible never qualifies repentance? What you get from a lot of preachers these days, well, that just means that you repent of unbelief. Show me in the Bible where it says that. It's not in there. When the Bible talks about repentance, it means there's nothing in you that's good. You are to repent of everything about you. Amen. Even your good works are as filthy rags. How can you be lying to people and telling them they don't need to repent of their sin, just of unbelief? Not only should you repent of your sin, you should repent of your good works. What's that mean? That means you change your heart and mind. You change how you think and feel about who you are, what you believe, what you do, and you turn toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that gospel. The lost sinner who is saved repents of all, everything. Even the motive behind a lot of what we do that's not bad. Even the motive is wrong. A lot of girls go to church and get all dressed up and smell good and everything. And you know why they're doing it? To attract attention to themselves. Yeah. A lot of boys get up. And boy, I hope this is coming to an end. I don't notice it as much. But they'll get up and get all dressed up and look good and then spray with Axe. And then they walk in the room and everybody's like, you know. I mean, if you're trying to repel people, wear Axe. But if you're trying to attract people, you know. Yeah. But even the motive behind a lot of that is to attract attention. Hey, I'm not here to see you. I don't care how pretty you are or how handsome and dapper you think you are. I'm here for Jesus. Amen. And so, you know, there are some preachers have no tact and they'll walk up and say, you know what, you need to go home and change. You look like a little whore. You know, I've never done that. What I will do is, all right, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here this morning, and so don't get nervous. But if I saw a little skimpy, you know, someone come in a little skimpy skirt, I'd say, you know, just to FYI, you're attracting a little too much attention, and we're not here for that. So just think about that when you get dressed, you know. Believe it or not, we had somebody show up in a bikini one time. Oh, okay. I was pastoring a church in Cincinnati, and showed up in a bikini. And her reason was that she was at the pool and she decided she wanted to come to church and she didn't have any clothes. So I asked her to put the towel on and then, you know, and then somebody got her a shirt and we let her stay. But she got offended by that and I don't think we ever saw her again. And you think, you know, common sense. But, you know, I've been to church services where the women with the little skimpy shirt, shorts, everything, you know, I'm thinking that's just about as bad as being in a bikini. But the problem isn't what they're wearing. The problem is, why did they do that? They did that to attract attention. And what is your purpose even outside of church? Even outside of church. If how many, we have a newlywed couple and we have Jill's on how many years? 31. And Janice? 31, and we're celebrating our 15th newlyweds practically. And you know what? You want your spouse's attraction. Amen. You want their attraction. That is your motive. So don't take this as, you know, just, you know, look as terrible as you can, you know. You know, I'm not saying that. It's good to look good to your spouse. It's good to attract your spouse. But I'm asking, what is your intention? You don't, you know, Johnny a lot of times wears a suit and tie. If Johnny's wearing a suit and tie to get attention from me, but I've never got that from him, you know. But if he were, that'd be just as wrong. Our lives, we're supposed to have repented of all desire to self-glorify. That's why we're not Pharisees. Those who truly repent and believe on Jesus want to introduce others to Him. Everything you do, even the way you dress, even the music you listen to, even the places you go, everything you do, you should be thinking, is this going to help me in my effort to introduce others to Jesus Christ? That's the question. And none of us are perfect at it. But that's the general idea that should be in your heart and mind if you have repented toward God. Matthew gave it up right there. Left all and followed him. Look over at John chapter 1. In verses 37 to 42. And I want to start reading. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. It's just like with Matthew, but these are two different disciples. It says, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? He wasn't upset they're following, but he's just asking them a question. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? In verse 39, he saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And then read verses 40 through 42 with me. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I stop you there. He was a follower of John the Baptist up to this point. And this is Andrew. Now read verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. You see that? The first thing Andrew did when he started to follow Jesus was he wanted to bring his closest friend, and it happened to be his brother, Peter. He wanted to introduce him to Jesus. The first words of verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So you have Matthew, also called Levi. You have Peter, also called Cephas. How did Peter come to Jesus? His brother Andrew brought him to Jesus. That's what the Christian life should look like. Now back in Matthew 5, verse 30, it said, Matthew in my brain. Luke 5:30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And again, I actually had a ministry. I'm trying to be careful not to upset anybody. But I had a ministry reaching out to young people. And there were people in the church that didn't like some of the young people I was bringing in. I'm like, that's what we're here for. Those are the people we want to reach. But churches are filled with Pharisees. Pharisaical, if they are Christians. The Pharisees did not reach out to the lost. When Jesus showed up, you didn't have Pharisees running around trying to reach people with the truth of God's word and having crusades. They were all about establishing their own righteousness. You see, the Pharisee attitude is, me, me, me. I want to be... Yeah, you did it. That was pretty good. I've joked about how a lot of churches, that should be their praise chorus. Me, 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 you know. Look over Romans 10. Paul is saying this. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is... that they might be saved. And look what he says about them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There are a lot of people who say, I love God. But then they have no desire to learn the Bible. They don't know Jesus. And they don't really care to. Verses 3 and 4, read that. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, Christianity isn't about, I'm going to do so many good things that God's going to like me. That's not it. And that's how I've told you this before. Keep your eye on it. When you watch movies, you watch TV shows, you're going to see that that's how the world paints Christianity up, and it's perverted. It's the total opposite. Our message to the world is, you cannot do enough works to be saved. Jesus did the works. And if you want to, I quoted Doug, I think last week, if you want a little shock value, say, yes, I'm going to heaven by works. And they look at you and you say, by the works Jesus did. The works Jesus did on the cross, shedding His blood, paying for my sins. The work Jesus performed when they buried Him and He rose again. Those are the works saving me. But it's all about you being righteous because of Jesus. Anytime someone can pay you a compliment, and don't need to, people are real bad about that. They say, you know, it was wonderful what you did. You know how you can turn that around the right way? Say, you know what? I do it for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Whatever you see in me that's right, it's the influence of Jesus Christ and His Word on me. So you don't have to tell people, oh, don't compliment me. I just don't want to hear it. No, when they compliment you, say, well, thank you. But you know, it's because of Jesus. As time I pulled over to help this couple out, they had a flat tire and they didn't have a jack. I didn't know that. I just saw them standing there. And this is going showing my age, but this was before cell phones. Oh. Out in the middle of interstate somewhere. They couldn't call anybody, so I pulled over. I pulled the jack out and I helped the guy change the tire and everything. He's like, man, thank you so much. I think I probably would have to walk 5 miles and, you know, who knows what would happen. And I said, well, let me tell you, the only reason I pull over and help people like this is because that's what the Bible teaches me since I've become a Christian and I follow the Bible. And I want people to know that. Don't give me the credit. The credit belongs to Jesus Christ. And, you know, at the time, I just said that because it was true. I found out later that's a real good witness. I'd only been saved a short while, and I told the guy that just because it's the truth. If that had happened before I got saved, I probably wouldn't have paid attention. Might have honked, you know. Stinks to be you. But Jesus is supposed to change us, amen?
Amen.
So we come down to the close. Let's close this up. Verse 31, 32 says, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. And he's being a little facetious here. He's talking about people who think they're whole. He makes clear elsewhere that the Pharisees aren't whole. But he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus and Paul, as we already quoted, Acts 20:21, called sinners to repentance. Why are so few Christians, evangelists, churches calling sinners to repentance? Why? Because they're worried about filling the pews and having numbers and big offerings. And that's not going to make your message popular if you're calling out people for their sin and their need for salvation because they're sinners. I mean, there's actually people preaching it that way. You know what? You're so wonderful. God's just got to have you. Where is that ever preached in the Bible by anybody? So there's two marks of apostasy, and one is gathering good people to build mega churches. Think that through, what I just said. They go out looking for good people. They're not out preaching the gospel, calling on sinners to repent, confronting people with their lost condition. They're TV commercials where, come to Bible Believers Fellowship, we've got the best coffee anywhere in town. And the nicest people. And if you come, you're the first 10 people to show up next Sunday, we're going to give you a Winnie the Pooh doll. You know? That's the tactics they're using to pull people in because they want big churches, mega churches. And that's apostasy. That's not true Christianity. The other is preaching a gospel without repentance. You know, I actually know people who said that to people. You don't have to really change much to be a Christian. You just receive forgiveness. You may not know it, but there are people out there preaching it that way. It's because you're not going to get a great response by looking at people and say, you know what? You deserve to be in hell right now. When I got saved, I came to realize I was lost, that I should have been in hell right then. But Jesus has paid for my sins. I'm telling you, folks, when I got saved, I had reached a point where I thought I was going crazy. I knew that if I died right then, I was going to hell. And it was like, what do I do? because I wasn't really sure I wanted to give up my sin. And according to these goofballs today, it was all for nothing because all I had to do is, you know, oh, I don't have to stop sinning. Okay. And I want to be careful with that phraseology. We never stop sinning completely. But we have to stop in our hearts from wanting to live in sin and wanting to live a sinful lifestyle. You begin to not want to live in sin. The Holy Spirit comes into you, and when you do sin, He convicts you of it, and you're miserable. And so many Christians today, professing Christians, seem to be able to live in sin without any conviction. That's dangerous. We are witnessing the birth and development of the Laodicean false church of the tribulation. We talked about the coronavirus thing kind of being a dress rehearsal for what happens after the rapture. That's just one of many things that tells us we're in the last days. And we are seeing this church found in Revelation 3. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to read just a couple of verses out of this. In Revelation 3, we have a whole study on this online. The church of Laodicea, according to verse 14. And verse 15, Jesus is speaking. And He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What makes this church lukewarm? It makes God sick. This church we're reading about, God wants to puke. Why? They're unrepentant. Read verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. That's putting on His righteousness, not your own. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now you say, well, why do you say they're unrepentant? Well, it was described there. We just read it. But then look how He sums it up in verse 20. Read that with me. Verse 19. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's why we know they were unrepentant. He's still calling on them to repent. And verse 20, this is why we know this is an apostate church. Folks, as soon as any one of you Christians walk in this building, Jesus is here. Because He's in you. Any true church is made up of believers. The believers are the church. This is just a building. It's the people, the believers. You are the church. But look, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be with, and he with me. That Jesus is outside of this church in Laodicea. Jesus is outside knocking to get in. If you're saved, Jesus isn't knocking at your door to get in. He's already in. This is the church that's left behind after the rapture. This Laodicean church is being built right now. And it is made up of churches, individual local churches, that don't preach the gospel and they don't preach repentance. Amen. That's what's going on all around you. If you still sense conviction, then it's not too late to repent. If someone's hearing this message and you've never really been saved, but you're being convicted right now, don't blame the preacher. It's the Holy Spirit. And there are people out there who say, oh, I think I went too far. What makes you think that? Oh, because I just feel like it. Well, wait a minute. Just stop you right there. That's called conviction. That means the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. That means it's not too late. And I close with these verses. I already read verse 20. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. See, that's already true of you if you're a Christian. This church, Laodicea, is made up of lost people who are unrepentant because they are not seated in heavenly places like you and I yet. Verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So let's close with this thought. Jesus never asked anyone to just admit you're a sinner. You might notice on our little cards, we put up there, admit you are a sinner and repent. Because all over the place, you'll have people say, will you admit you're a sinner? Well, yeah. Well, say this little prayer and you'll be saved. Jesus didn't ever say, admit you're a sinner. He told them they're sinners, told them they were lost, and called on them to repent. You want to follow biblical model of ministry, confront the lost with their need of salvation, and call on them to repent. You today, I can't answer for you, everyone in this room, anyone listening online or wherever, I can't answer for you. Only you can answer for you in your heart. If you are old enough, you are intelligent enough to understand what we're talking about this morning, and you have not repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and believed that gospel, you're lost. I am lovingly confronting you with your need to be saved, to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only something you can do.
I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how He gave His life.